Today on Compassion Radio.
I started meeting people around the state that I lived in who also cared about this issue. I started gathering those people together, and we would just ask everybody to come meet. And we met and we just said, is there something we can do together? Because I definitely was finding that when somebody goes off to try and address an issue like human trafficking on their own, they often feel lost and feel like they don't know where to start and how to really have an impact. And so as we got together, there was strength in us coming together, and we started saying, what can we do together?
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way. Now today, Bram connects with Joe McCann, the director of Mission Services for World Relief in North Carolina. Among other things, they talk about how the recent developments in immigration policy here in the U.S. have impacted their ability to serve the immigrant and refugee community. They also talk about the very real issue of child trafficking. Along with that, they discuss the importance of having a biblical and Christ-like view of the role of the church in welcoming refugees. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part one of that conversation.
I'm going to spend some time now with Joe McCann, who is here as the Director of Mission Services at World Relief. Joe, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you so much.
Now, you had a chance to talk and introduce some of the work to my wife, Sandy, last year. And since we were in the area, I wanted to sit down again and see where things have gone, because so much has happened politically, so much has happened socially, and the conflicts around the world that are creating the refugee crisis anew are coming from different places. The pipeline of refugees that need help is changing all the time. Mm-hmm. And you all adapt very quickly to the needs that are out there. But you've also said in our conversation a little while ago that it's kind of disheartening in some ways, because you were so welcoming and were so full of capacity to bring more refugees and get them resettled and get them into loving communities, and that that capacity is not really being exploited by the government positively right now. In fact, the number of refugees that you've been granted the permission to serve has been cut by, what, two-thirds now?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
How are you all coping with your desire to help refugees and immigrants and not having the privilege of doing it? I mean, what's it like to have to go from 600 to 200 refugees in 1 year?
Yeah. Well, I think when you've been doing something like this for a while and you've seen a lot of lives transformed, you've seen relationships that have built between the refugee community and the community here in that surrounds you. When you've developed relationships and you see that start to dwindle down, it is heartbreaking. When you know that we have the most displaced people in the world ever in history.
Yes.
Which we now have,
and it's saying we. You mean around the world, right?
Yeah.
Now.
So. You know, a couple of years ago, when I think what we kind of identify as the current refugee crisis was really ramping up, mm-hmm. I was doing presentations and telling people, you know, there's the most displaced people in the world as any time since World War II.
Yeah.
And now we've passed that number.
And probably going farther distances than ever in human history, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, certainly in recorded history, but likely in, you know, certainly in history as a whole with the population of the world.
I ran into an expectation from some of our listeners and churches that I've talked to that when the major news cycle started dialing back around maybe 2014, there was less reporting from the ground where the conflicts were happening in the Middle East because there was so much danger for the reporters and there wasn't as much willingness to invest money into getting the stories. That meant that most of the traffic had to slow down. Mm-hmm. When I was stationed near the Moria refugee camp on the island of Lesbos, they were coming in hundreds and hundreds per day. And wow. The refugee camp there had already like tripled in size. It was on its way to being four times its capacity. And nobody was covering the story. There wasn't a single reporter anywhere on the island at the time. I was stunned about that. But it didn't mean that the need was not there. But it did mean that the media had moved on. The governments were trying to ignore the problem because they couldn't get any help anyway, and they didn't want to make it look like their island was being besieged. And they weren't wanting violence to erupt with people thinking that they can't stop the flow of immigrants, because that was an issue in Greece as well. But the need was there. And so who was stuck in the gap but these Mennonite missionaries running the camp? They were stunning in their faith and their ability to step in to things that seemed impossible. But that's the reality of the ground. And you're seeing that more humanity is moving now because of war and because of persecution and all kinds of things in the Middle East, Central Africa, Southeast Asia, and as you put it earlier, then the entire history of humankind that we know of recorded. So what do we do? I mean, you're sitting here waiting for refugees to come to you. You're ready to accept them. You've got capacity, you've got people and volunteers trained and ready to go. What do you do?
Yeah, so for us, we had been sensing for a little while and we're headed in a direction, and that is, the truth is we want to continue to serve as many refugees as possible.
I heard Jennifer's story about why she cares.
Yeah.
Joe, why do you care about serving refugees?
It started with the scriptures. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's quite simply the mandate that God has given his followers. And the truth is I didn't grow up with exposure to that part of God's calling for people who follow him. And I grew up loving the Lord. I grew up caring about the gospel. And it was really through a time of God just graciously pounding me with this message till I finally got it.
A gentle pounding.
Yes. Really, it started with God exposing me to the issue of human trafficking. Hmm. And long story short, I saw a Dateline special about child sex trafficking in Southeast Asia. Hmm. And was totally blown away by this, just couldn't believe it was happening. But it honestly didn't even cross my mind that I should do something about it.
Or that underlying factoid that was not being discussed at all at the time is how much it was happening under our noses in our own country.
Exactly, yeah. And so I went on to learn all that. But over the course of a few weeks, God just kept putting this issue in front of my face that I had never known anything about, until finally, sort of driving home from work one day, again, the issue was put in front of me through a special on the radio. And I said, finally, God, are you trying to say something to me? Is there something you want me to do about this? Got home, opened my Bible, not looking for anything, just happened to be in James, happened to come to James 1:27. Wow. And said, the only religion that the Lord finds acceptable is to watch out for the orphan and the widow in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And I realized at that moment I had never done one thing for an orphan, a widow, or anybody else who was in a vulnerable situation. And that was a time where it sort of transitioned my life, and I realized God's calling on his people to care for those in vulnerable situations.
That passage has been disturbing Christians for millennia. And I thank God for James, this brother of Jesus, who actually stepped into something which might have been a minefield even in his time.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you step out and be the Good Samaritan now? I mean, we're the ones that are being persecuted. We're the ones that are under fire. We are. It's all about us. And James, the brother of Jesus himself, steps in and says, no, we are but to be living sacrifices. And this is, as you said, the only kind of religion that God finds acceptable is to reach out to those. And so the battle has raged ever since. Works or holiness? I mean, what's it going to be? I mean, are we going to earn our way to heaven, or are we going to experience our way to heaven? What's it going to be? Mm-hmm. What's your experience? Is it works or is it personal righteousness?
So the way my mind works is I don't have to have it all figured out, right? What can I do? I can see what God is asking me to do, what he's asking me to be, the heart that he desires for me to have, and I can seek after that.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again whenever it's convenient just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry and take a look at all the other great resources at CompassionRadio.com.
A survey a while back revealed that the average household in America has 4.4 Bibles in it, with some homes containing 6, 7, 8, or even more copies of God's Word. And that's wonderful. But did you know that there are places in the world where people have never even seen a Bible? That means they are literally starving for the essential life-giving power of the Scriptures. As you may also know, we've done many successful Bible projects over the years at Compassion Radio. This has helped to place over 500,000 of them with believers, pastors, and evangelists. We are so excited to tell you about our Compassion Radio Bibles Project. For the first time ever, Compassion Radio and this campaign are being underwritten so that every single dollar raised for Bibles goes to that project. Think about that. It's the biggest matching gift challenge we've ever offered at Compassion Radio, and there is no limit to this offer. The more you give, the more goes to the field and the front lines of gospel outreach. So please, pray big with us about this, and then act exactly as the Lord shows you. Make this challenge known to your family and friends. Talk to your pastor, your Sunday school class, small group, or home fellowship. Bring it to your benevolence or missions committee. Pray about where the Lord might have you share this unique opportunity. Let's saturate the world with God's Word like never before. If you'd like to help place a Bible or a Gospel of John into the hands of someone who has never seen the Word of God before and wants it in the countries of India, Nepal, and China, please contact us right now. The number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also give at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word Bibles to 53445. That's Bibles to 53445. And you can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Just be sure to put Bibles Project in the memo on your check. Thank you so very much for anything you can do to help us in our efforts to get the Word of God out to those who need it and want it the most. Friends, keep in mind that there are only 24 hours left to take part in this year's Bible Drive. As we've mentioned before, please call, text, or put that letter in the mail right away. And don't forget that this project is supported by a special matching grant, meaning that your gift for Bibles goes even farther. Thank you, friends, for helping us to start the year right by giving Bibles and building the kingdom of God.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
And this is, as you said, the only kind of religion that God finds acceptable is to reach out to those. And so the battle has raged ever since. Works or holiness? I mean, what's it going to be? I mean, are we going to earn our way to heaven, or are we going to experience our way to heaven? What's it going to be? Mm-hmm. What's your experience? Is it works or is it personal righteousness?
So the way my mind works is I don't have to have it all figured out, right? What can I do? I can see what God is asking me to do, what he's asking me to be, the heart that he desires for me to have, and I can seek after that. I look at James 1:27. I look in Matthew where the separating of the sheep and the goat, and I look at those and I'm going, what? How does that work? How do I make that fit into my theology? All that sort of stuff. And certainly there's no problem with going in and trying to work through some of those. But at the end of the day, I can just say, this is important to God.
Yeah.
So it needs to be important to me. God has said, go do this. So I need to try and go do that. Yeah. And so that's kind of how I've gone about it.
Yeah.
When we respond to that, I believe then there's Isaiah 58, and you see in Isaiah 58, and God is just calling people. I think I kind of interpret it as God saying, don't just be religious, live your life for me and for your brothers and sisters. And so Isaiah 58, the God's saying, what sort of fast does he desire? And he lists this fast that sees the naked clothed and the hungry fed and the oppressed set free and the stranger welcomed and all these different things. And is spending ourselves on behalf of others.
Yeah.
And that calling to just step out and serve and love people, you know? And that those scriptures have all just been sort of what has kept guiding me in a direction towards caring and just having concern for and putting action to that those concerns for people who are in vulnerable situations.
I've never known anyone who heard the call to true agape, which is love in action of compassion and service to others, that hasn't also stepped into joy.
Mm. Yeah.
You don't end up with this woe unto me, horrible life. I can't believe that God demanded this of me. Mm-hmm. They say, I can't believe I was kept from this. Yeah. I can't believe that I ever missed this. Wow.
That's Isaiah 58. That's Isaiah 58 goes on. It describes this fast of serving and caring for others. And it's then it says, then after you, as you do these things, because the people, the Israelites were looking to God and saying, we've been fasting. Why aren't you blessing us? Yeah. Why are, you know, and then he says, you know, spend yourself on others. Mm. And then you will be like a well whose waters never run dry. It's all these promises of God pouring himself out on you and all of these promises of being filled and full. And I definitely have seen in my own life and in those who are doing a lot more than me, how they are not the ones who seem to be so dry and dead. They are the ones who seem to be filled and overflowing. And I don't believe it's that they were filled and overflowing, so they went on to serve the vulnerable and care for others. I believe that they responded to the call to serve others
and became, one.
And became full.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of a little conversation that Jesus had with a woman at a little well in Samaria.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Okay, so this happened to you, Joe. You were moved by God to step in and say, okay, God's got something in this for me. He wants me to obey and to pursue this only religion that is acceptable. So what did you do?
So at the time, I basically said, okay, God, so you want me to do something about this anti-human trafficking thing, which I really don't know anything about. And so I started just learning. I started looking into what is human trafficking, what are some different organizations around, reaching out, and then starting to see what do I have that I can utilize at this point. So at the time I was in music, so I began using that platform to bring awareness. I started meeting people around the state that I lived in who also cared about this issue. And so I started gathering those people together, and we would just, I just asked everybody to come meet, and we met and we just said, is there something we can do together? Because I definitely was finding that when somebody goes off to try and address an issue like human trafficking on their own, they often feel lost and feel like they don't know where to start and how to really have an impact. And so as we got together, there was strength in us coming together. And we started saying, what can we do together? And so that ended up leading to something called, I lived in the state of Maine at the time, the Maine Freedom Project. And so just a group of volunteer people all working together to bring awareness, raise funds for nonprofits that are addressing the issue. And then, you know, through a time of fasting and praying, God called me to start seeking to work full time in the nonprofit world, and ended up applying for a position at World Relief. So,
how many years has it been now that you've served with World Relief?
About 6.5 years now.
Did you jump immediately to a position here in the Carolinas at the time, or were you moving around looking for other things?
Yeah, I did. We were, I was up in Maine with my wife and family, and we were ready to get somewhere a little warmer. Also just kind of seeking to, again, just find what is it that God might be calling us to, and started looking at different positions, and this is the one that showed up.
And you started earlier on, as I saw your earlier title was Church Engagement and Development Officer, and now you're the Director of Mission Services. So you've taken a leap into overseeing a lot of ways of reaching families and individuals that end up in your community. Jennifer reminded me that over 10% now of the entire population of this area come from a background of some kind of immigrant or refugee status. That's a lot of people hiding in these woods.
Yeah.
and they're transforming the fabric of the society here, and I'm suspecting for the better, not for the worse. Mm. So tell me about the process of getting to know the situation you've found here in North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, so one of the cool things about my position at World Relief and World Relief's mission. So our mission is to empower the local church to serve the most vulnerable. And so in everything that we do, as we do seek to serve the vulnerable, we're looking for how do we do that in a way that helps the church also grow and develop into its calling. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of what we do is we look to make relational connections. So we do different volunteer opportunities where we connect a one-on-one, we connect a families to families, a group of people to walk alongside a family, and we've just seen amazing things come from that. A lot of times when I'm talking to people about refugee ministry, first I want to make the case that refugees need the church, that it is God's calling on the church, and that refugees have, as you can imagine, lost so much. They're coming to a very unfamiliar place, and there are so many hurdles for them to face as they go through this refugee resettlement process that they go through. And that when a refugee has somebody in the community who says, I'm going to walk with you through this, that I'm going to provide community and friendship and advice and direction, that it has a huge impact on that refugee and their ability to thrive and become a part of the community. But then also, I always want to try and make the point as well, because I believe this strongly, that as much as the refugee needs the church, the church also needs the refugee. That
unpack that one for me. Yeah, why does the church need a refugee?
Because what I've seen over and over is that this experience of meeting, getting to know, developing relationships with somebody who is very different than you in a lot of ways, and has experienced very different things than you've experienced, that has gone through things that a lot of times most of us cannot even comprehend, who has a different perspective, it changes us. Mm. And I think it changes us for the better. It opens our eyes to the wider world around us. Helps us get new perspectives. It's very easy for us and for the church as a whole to become insulated.
Yeah.
And
insular at the same time.
Yeah. And so we have the people around us who are very similar to us, and we're kind of have our bubble. And this experience of partnering and connecting and building a relationship with somebody from very much outside that bubble really can have a positive impact on your perspective of the world, of God, of all these different things.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800 800- 866-248-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.